Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Metritis is a common disease in cattle that producers need to keep an eye out for. Dr. Eric Moore is Director of Technical Services with Norbrook. He says metritis is one of the more common cattle diseases, especially in dairy cattle.
When we talk about metritis, it's a common disease. We'll have incidence of metritis up to 30% in cows. And so metritis, of course, is that infection immediately after calving in the uterus. It leads to decreased milk production, decreased fertility, increased risk of mortality and culling in the herd. Estimates have costs of $358 per diagnosed case of metritis per head. So it has a substantial economic impact on your profitability in your dairy herd.
Moore talks about signs to look for in spotting metritis in cattle.
And so when we talk about diagnosing metritis in cattle, we often see that with a fever, anorexia or off feed, decreased milk production. But the most common trait we see is that foul smelling, brown, reddish, watery discharge from the vulva in that first 20 days in milk. And when we see that, we know we're dealing with metritis. You increase the risk of mortality, i.e. cattle dying, and they're more likely to be culled after a case of metritis. The long-term effect, though, and the one that really hits your pocketbook, is the negative effect it has on fertility in that cow. Any cattle that experience dystocia, i.e. difficulty in calving, or retain placenta, are at higher probability for also developing metritis.
He talks about how to treat metritis.
Common treatments include evacuation of the uterus, i.e. trying to remove the infected material, use of nonsteroidals, flushing of the uterus. But one of the common and most effective treatments is systemic treatment with antibiotics. And one of the most effective antibiotics that we use today is Cefenel RTU. Cefenel RTU is a cephalosporin labeled to treat metritis in dairy cows. Looking at that first 20 days in milk after calving, we want to be sure we have a cost-effective, efficacious systemic treatment to address the metritis problem.
Again, Dr. Eric Moore is with Norbrook and talking about treating metritis in cattle. Farmer leaders of the United Soybean Board recently set funding priorities for fiscal year 2022, which starts in October. The projects aim at increasing profitability for U.S. soybean farmers, according to USB Chair Dan Farney, an Illinois soybean farmer.
This is one of our most important meetings that we lay out, actually our next fiscal year, what we're planning on investing in for the checkoff and for all farmers. We looked at a total of 181 new checkoff funded projects, and they had a total budget allocation of $78 million. And those three things that we focus on are oil, sustainability, and meal.
Projects are considered and reviewed based on alignment with the checkoff's overall objectives for supply, marketplace, and demand across the target areas of soybean meal, oil, and sustainability.
One of the things that we're working on is regaining demand for edible soybean oil market and also expanding markets for supplying high oleic soybeans. But in meal, we want to work on our number one customer, which is animal agriculture. It's working with other organizations like the U.S. Soybean Export Council, the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council, and U.S. Meat Export Federation. So those are ways that we continue to support animal agriculture and provide exports.
Barney says this year they were able to invest more for the future of the U.S. soybean industry.
As everybody knows, soybean prices are up a little bit. We hope that continues, but also we was able to invest a little bit more. I think $70 million invested in the previous fiscal year, and so we invested $78 million this time. And that really helps create a strong foundation going forward that we continue to build on progress that we've been working on over the years.
Keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at unitedsoybean.org. And every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on RFD TV. It's dry up and down the West Coast, but in California, farmers are starting to see their water turn off. To show how the drought is impacting the farm industry in the largest agricultural production state, the Western Growers Association is out with a series of videos showcasing the devastation left behind when the water stops flowing. Joe Del Bosque of Del Bosque Farm says at the start of the year they planned for their water allocation, but as the spring and summer dried out, it became evident they would not have enough water for all of their crops.
We had to sacrifice our asparagus. We had to cut back on our melons. And we're going to go into deficit irrigation on these almonds also. So we're cutting back everywhere, but trying to keep enough to keep the farm going.
Delboski points out that when he took one of his asparagus fields out of production, his workers in the surrounding community were hit hard.
70 people are going to lose their jobs here. Next year there will be no harvest here. Those 70 people lose about 2 months of work. It's a very difficult hit for them and for the small towns that they live in and their families.
Delboski, like other farmers in the No Water Equals No Crops series, says deciding which crops to sacrifice has been one of the hardest decisions to make on the farm. When retail markets climbed last year in the wake of food service restrictions, beef took center plate as the protein of choice. Cow-calf producers are answering the call to supply quality product while facing new hurdles. While the beef industry emerged from the pandemic stronger, more roadblocks are in store for American farmers and ranchers. According to Cattle Facts, drought conditions and high corn prices are causing a liquidation of the U.S. beef cow herd. Cattle Facts Vice President of Industry Affairs Kevin Good explains.
We're in a La Nina weather pattern, which means the bulk of the western U.S. is both warm and dry. It started last summer, so, you know, unfortunately, we started to see some cow culling through the fall of last year, and we would expect that trend to continue through 2021.
Quarter bean suppliers are also tight this year, resulting in higher prices and presenting major headwinds for producers on production costs. Still, there is a bright story for beef quality. When demand shifted from food service to retail last year, beef market share increased by 2%. This compares to a 20-year period where beef gained 6% of the market.
You know, we went from 40 to 46% of the dollar spent between 1998 to 2019, and that jumped 2% last year alone, and we took market share away from both pork and poultry. So it tells us, and it's a good message, we've got a higher quality, more consistent product. Consumers willing to pay a wider price premium for beef compared to pork and poultry. And so if you're involved in the industry and you're not making the changes, you're not improving your herd or your what you're producing, over time, instead of getting average or premiums, you're going to start to get discounts and bigger discounts.
Over the last decade, the American Hereford Association reports a 150% growth in marbling and an 86% growth in ribeye area. Clint Brightwell, Western Territory Manager for American Hereford Association, says the association's feed-out programs give producers data to make more informed breeding decisions.
So the Hereford feed-out program is a great way for purebred producers to get involved in feeding cattle at a low-risk way and doesn't take a lot of financial commitment. They will get the information back on their cattle to make better genetic improvements. It goes back to putting themselves in the commercial cowman's shoes, learning more about feeding cattle and how the whole segment works, to then go back to their purebred cows and make their selections, always thinking the step ahead.
You can see how Hereford Genetics can elevate your operation at hereford.org. You've been listening to American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.